Welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this memorial and memorable day of September the 11th, 9/11. I remember it well. I remember the horror and the grief and the shock, just the absolute shock of what had happened on this day. I think we all will probably never forget exactly where we were when we first heard the news of 9/11. It immediately, of course, changed the lives of over 5,000 people, not to mention the collateral connections of people through families and friends, thousands and thousands and thousands more, the city of New York, the United States, and the world. It was an event that changed everything. And I think that one of the most lovely ways and memorable ways that we could celebrate that day today is to discuss the subject of forgiveness, because it brings us to the threshold of how are we going to bring about world peace, how are we going to bring about peace in our own life, and peace in our daily life among each other. But before we go into anything that resembles a formal presentation, let's just hear from you. I'd love to know how you're doing, and I have my list already started, people who've already called and asked me for blessings today. So if I need to add you to that list, please call on and let me know. Let me hear from you. And I'm just going around the board to see who has signed on. It's star six and then one. And I will look for your call. So far, we have a peaceful monitor board today without any specific requests for blessings. But I'm sure that will change. Here we go. Hi, Nancy. You're on.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm all right. And remembering 9/11 and what I did and what I was doing. But I do have some requests. I have a friend of mine whose husband is not well. They gave him a death sentence about 5 years ago. But he's still kicking, even though he has one leg. But it's for Hines and for Kelly, who's been his caregiver just about all their married life. And she just went through a hernia surgery. So he's trying to take care of her right now.
Oh, so bless her heart. Just imagine how much they must love each other.
They do. They do. And and to watch Hines, you know, I know that his transition's going to be soon, but, you know, just, anyway, blessings on both of them. And,
yeah.
And also to, my cousin, I lost an aunt recently.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And for Aunt Alice, you know, and for her children and everything, so.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. And they are on my list.
Wonderful.
Well, Nancy, it's good to know you're doing fine. And we have some more people. Let's see. Who do we have? Oh, okay. We have, I believe, Desmond. Desmond, is that you?
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to offer a blessing for just our beautiful connection that we all individually have with Mother Earth, and also I want to ask for a blessing because I live quite far north, and just to really get develop my intelligence, and I really look to the native people and the intelligence that they've had of the land, but they don't really have it like they used to, and I want to offer a blessing for them as well.
Oh, good. Good. All right. That's very sweet of you, Desmond. And, yeah. And let's see. Let me get back to my board here. I just stepped away to put on a sweater the temperature dropped a little bit while I was just in the middle of my call. So, Jerome, I see you're on the line. Hi. So good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, Glenda. The other thing is this is National Grandparents Day, too, so.
All right. Oh, I didn't know that.
Great-grandparents and grandparents and all the stuff in our family, so that affects us all. But especially thank you for your love and your light and everything that you're doing and for helping all of us. So just blessings to you personally as well.
Oh, you are so welcome, and thanks for that little chuckle. I love that chuckle. It's been well-earned through many, many, many years of love and service.
Thank you, and all the blessings for you. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and as I scoot around, here we go. We have a Gina. Hi, Gina. Just a minute. Let me open your line. There you go. You're
Hi,
on.
Glenda.
Yes.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
And I agree with what Jerome just said. I love you, and thank you. And actually, I love the inspirational email you sent. It was so comforting, and I got it right at the right time. I've been, you know, still grieving for my dad. So,
I'm thinking about doing that more often. Do you think that would be a good thing?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, I know you said you're going to resume it, but I do have a question in the, because you quoted Yeshua from Love Without End, chapter 12. And, you know, basically, I believe it says, you know, you'll know God because God's in your heart. So, you've always said this before, you know, live from your heart. But the next sentence, I was wondering if you could just explain it maybe a little bit more, or if I'm not... Maybe I'm reading into it, but
well, say it to me. I'm not exactly on that page right now. Can you quote it back to me?
The whole thing, or just the part that I was?
Just that part you've got questions about.
Yeah,
I could find it, but it'll take me a minute, and you might be quicker.
Yeah, it says, as you know God, your ideals will work better. Well, before that, for God is in your heart. As you know God, your ideals will work better. You will also be able to concentrate and generate higher levels of both expansion and compression, which will leave you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, I guess knowing God through your heart, God's in your heart.
Okay, I think that's really the thing that just needs to be emphasized, Gina. The fact is, no matter how brilliant our mind is, or how dedicated or inspired a theologian is, you can't describe God. God is just too big, too majestic, too far beyond the human range of experience. We can't put into a formula all that God is. We have to actually surrender to the fact that a seed... We are a seed child of God, and that seed is in our heart. So we have a direct connection that will give us insight and understanding for the particulars of our life as we need it directly. Now, there's nothing wrong with well-intended theology, and my respect and reverence to those who dedicated their lives to elevating their minds to bring about the best description they could. But we all have to know that there is no theology good enough to put God in a bottle. The only way we can really, really know God is to have a direct personal experience. And that's actually what Yeshua was born to teach us and to give us and provide us. And when I asked him why he wanted me to paint him, I said, surely, you're not vain. I said, you really are handsome, but you're not vain. and you've got millions of portrayals of you. I'm sure you don't need another one. Why? Why? And he said, I want them to look in my eyes. And then I remembered that almost all of the portrayals of Yeshua throughout history have the eyes averted because the artist didn't dare look in his eyes.
Wow.
And I think that says it all in what this passage is trying to describe.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to say what you know about something is not the same as knowing that something. No, someone could describe for you for 20 years what an ice cream cone was like, but you'll never know until you taste one.
Right.
Okay.
So what's that part about you'll be able to concentrate and generate higher levels of both expansion and compression? It made me think that, you know, my compression was, you know, my grief and, you know, expansion. I mean, what's that mean, expansion?
Compression, well, that goes back to another incomplete understanding you have. I'm not saying misunderstanding, but it's incomplete or you wouldn't be asking the question. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The compression is actually taking a lot of things and putting them together. So that they're in a state of focus, they're in a state of uniform collaboration, connection, and function.
Mm-hmm.
And actually our universe goes through alternating phases where everything compresses and then it re-expands. What scientists call the Big Bang was just when it re-expanded and we're now in a new wave of the universe that has a certain point in time when it began. But before that, it was in a state of moving toward compression. And this goes on endlessly. Cycles of life, whether it's nations or businesses or individuals or relationships, we go through stages of compression and then expansion. We could have, let's just say we have a business that flourishes in times of high demand for our product or our services. And then when that slopes off a little bit, we have to tighten our belt. We've got to be more careful with our budget. We've got to be more careful with our investments. We pull things together. We get better organized, better focused. We maybe add some products to our line, some services to our line. In other words, we get ready for a different phase of expansion. We go back and forth in life. And we don't always know how that will be done. The same is true of our health. We go through periods in life of radiant health. And then when we begin to suffer, if it's something just as simple as a cold, what do? Well, we drink chicken soup and go to bed. That's compression. We simplify our diet. We cut out rich foods. We drink more water. We keep ourselves warm. We protect ourselves. We stay away from the elements until we've put our little body back into a good holistic state, and then we get it back out in the world again.
Okay, so also would this be also talking about the adamantine particles?
He was talking about everything. Everything in all of life goes through these two alternating phases. You could talk to any physician, and he'll tell you that about health. You could talk to, you know, here's an example. In sports training, it was discovered a number of years ago that training an athlete every day, every day, every day got less results than giving them a day off every 3 days. The ones that got a day off every 3 days actually excelled beyond those who trained every day.
Right.
Why do you need to sleep at night? That's compression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you get up in the morning, that's expansion. Everything, everything, everything. The winter is compression. Everything goes down to the roots where the tree can reformulate itself and draw energy and nourishment and strength from the earth. Get ready to refurbish its leaves in the spring. Everything goes through expansion and compression.
Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Even friendships do. You know, and that's the thing we need to understand about friendships is that just because we go through a little bit of a dry out phase or a pullback phase where we don't seem to have as much in common doesn't mean the love is gone. It doesn't mean the friendship is broken. It just means we need to take a break. We need to take a break. Each person or various people in the relationship need to get re-energized for other things they need to learn, do, experience, whatever, and then have a friendship reunion. Everything goes through this phase. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, hi, Mary. You're on, and I'm trying to get your line on. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everybody. You know, I just wanted to say, first of all, Glenda, that was so beautiful. You're talking about the portrait of Yeshua and looking into his eyes. I just thought that was beautiful. And the reason I'm calling in today is I was thinking so much about how many, many times I've been on the call and asked for a blessing. And I really am realizing and acknowledging that I have always received the blessing. And a lot of times it's been subtle, like just a shift in my perspective that was so major and miraculous. And I think sometimes I have a way of expecting thunder and lightning. Well, sometimes, sometimes the subtle is the miraculous. And everything I've ever asked Yeshua to bless has truly been blessed. So I just want to acknowledge him and you and this amazing group, because also I think when we call in and raise our voices, not only do we have the blessing of the blessing, but I think everybody listening, you know, offers a prayer from their heart and their love and support. And so I enjoy hearing everybody call in, and I deeply love the love of this community and the blessings I've received. So I just wanted to acknowledge and say thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mary, for saying, I so appreciate that. It's so, so sweet of you.
Yeah.
And yes, it is true. It is true that we bless one another with our love.
I agree.
We give encouragement to one another with our faith. So when you express your faith in the blessings you've received, it gives others the courage to receive. And you know what? It takes courage to receive. Because what if a person opened themselves up in faith to receive and they were disappointed? What if? You know, that's a big deal for many people. And so with all of my integrity, all of my heart, all of my love, I give everything into my personal surrender into this service. Because I know from experience that the blessings are real, and they're deeply, deeply offered by the grace of God, from the heart of God, through the Holy Spirit, through the love of Christ. I truly know that. And sometimes they are subtle. But, you know, it's amazing what difference subtlety can make sometimes.
Amen. That's been true for me. So, you know, sometimes a slight shift of perspective and everything out my window is different.
Everything changes. Everything changes.
Yeah.
Well, we've got two more callers. I'm going to take two quick calls, and then I'm going to get into what will now be a little briefer presentation. But, see, it was important what everybody said, and you gave me the opportunity for a more creatively expanded presentation just by responding. So thank you, Mary and Jerome and everybody else. And we have a caller now from area code 612, and I'm trying to open your line. There you go.
Yes. Hello, Glenda. This is Leola.
Hi, Leola.
Okay, and I'm calling because I'm from your website the other day, and I noticed that you have a group of blessing givers. And I forgot, I didn't forget, but I did sign in to put my information in when it was offered. And I don't know if this is too late.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Please join. We want you there.
How do I go about doing that?
Just go to ChristBlessing.org, and then you'll see in the right-hand column something like Blessing Givers Enter Here. Click on that, and you'll be asked for a password, which you won't have right now. But what you do is you'll see right below the password window a little thing that says, click here for a request to join. I'm not exactly sure how it's worded, but it's something like that.
Okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And it will be sent to me, and, of course, I will approve. And then you go there, you select your password, and you are good to go.
Thank you so much, and I love you.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much for your blessings and your contributions. And I'm going to take a call quickly from Linda, calling from far, far away. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. A beautiful spring morning. I'm enjoying the sunshine and beautiful birds singing around me so much so they just pooped on my head.
That's actually considered a blessing in many countries.
Well, look, I'm just sitting here giggling because I just love the Tuis here. They have a beautiful song, although they're just quiet at the moment. Anyway, I'll be quick. I just want to thank you, Yeshua, all the blessing givers, and just say that these blessings are significant. I actually put my hand up to ask for someone to have a blessing last week. This is someone that I heard through the grapevine was in quite a bad mental state, hasn't had contact with me for over 10 or 11 years, as well as my son. Actually, it's my ex-husband. And a few days later, he actually reached out to both of us, met with my son, and asked maybe to meet me. So I can just say that these are amazing, and they do work miracles.
They do. Well, it's not, it's God that works the miracle. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Yeshua. But the way we convey the blessing increases the opportunity and accessibility for you and others to receive their blessings. That's the key. You see, we would walk around being blessed all the time if we could just receive it. But once we immerse ourselves into the issues of life, the predicaments of life, not to mention the cocoon we live in, we close off our access points. And these blessings energetically open our access points. And it doesn't take much.
Yes. And so I'm actually going to do something, Glenda, that I normally wouldn't do either, and asked to put my own name on the blessing list.
Great.
I would just so much love to get that opening to try to figure out how to move my blessing service forward. And I've just been struggling with it for some time. So, put my name on there, and love to see what will happen.
Oh, great, great. Well, I will make this announcement to everyone. God willing, and as they used to say in the cowboy movies, and the creek don't rise, we will be having our next blessing seminar, our live seminar, in Corpus Christi in January. So those of you who are finding yourself buried in snow at the time will find a lovely holiday opportunity to be down here in a very, very mild winter with very, very warm hearts, learning how to convey blessings to the world. And, of course, so many of our veteran blessing givers always return because there's always so much more to learn and so many more hearts to touch. So that's, we're getting close enough that I can actually give you a time. And as so many of you know, we have really, really been in a state of creative challenge with so many different opportunities to love and serve. That's the most creative way I can phrase it. And I've just about eaten up my presentation time. But what I wanted to talk about in tribute to 9/11 today is the subject of forgiveness. And it's a very big subject, and like all big subjects, there's not just one explanation for it, for what it is, for how we do it, for how we proceed with it. There's an analogy I like to use for all, that I think it works with all the big subjects. And I may just give you the analogy today and a little bit on the subject of forgiveness, because I'm going to refer to this in the future about many, many big subjects we need to talk about. And that analogy is the analogy of a mountain, let's say a very, very high mountain, like Mount Rainier, just a very, very high mountain. There are generally on most mountains, maybe not specifically and definitively, but more or less, there are four slopes. There's the north slope, which always has more snow on it, and the snow lasts longer. Why? Because it gets almost no sun. There is the eastern slope, which is usually the slope that has the most wildflowers on it, and the most lichens and the moisture requiring habits of botanical growth. Why? Because it has sun combined with the morning dew that generates the seeds and actually gives warm light and less harshness to these more fragile forms of life. There is the western slope, which is usually the most barren slope on the mountain. Why? Because it receives the hottest heat of the sun from noontime till sunset. That doesn't vary. It just bears down on the slope of the mountain. And then there's the southern slope of the mountain, which generally has the most timber on it. Why? Because it has the longest number of hours of light, which timber requires. Timber requires long hours of light to grow to its full height and to raise the tall shoots of pine or spruce or whatever might be growing on those slopes. And so we have four distinct slopes on the same mountain. And on all big subjects, there's a way of looking at that. Now, I'm going to give you the short form on the four slopes of forgiveness today. One, because people have such a struggle with it. People, it's the number one subject that I get in counseling. It's the number one subject I get from people who are taking courses with me, working on their life. How do I forgive my own personal failure, my own weakness? How do I forgive someone who betrayed me? How do I forgive something that let me down? How do I forgive the sins of the world? It's the single biggest subject that I get. And how does God manage to forgive? Big subject. Okay. Well, sometimes forgiveness is just as simple as forgiving yourself and a friend. And it's all over, and you're just back to loving each other. And that's all there is. It's just a matter of healing. I would compare that to the eastern slope of a mountain. You see, that's where the flowers bloom, where there's a lot of love to start with. And somebody did something wrong. We can look at it. We can deal with it. We can examine it. We can make promises to each other and cultivate our understanding of one another, hug or kiss or whatever's appropriate. And, we're done. We're back to loving each other. Okay. Now, there is the, let's look at the north slope of forgiveness. That's where the snow lingers the longest and lasts the longest, where it's the coldest. Sometimes forgiveness is just letting go and letting God take over. It's getting over our hatred, getting over our grudges, getting over our attachment to the hurt so that we can get back to healing our life and letting God take care of what needs to happen in the life of other people or another person. And we get over the bitterness. We just look at the fact that nature knows how to take care of itself, and it does take care of itself. Somehow, life will be restored. Somehow, we will get beyond it. Now, the southern slope of forgiveness, I think, is an interesting one. I think it's a very interesting one. That's where the trees grow tall. And that's where we have to look at, what did I learn from this? And when you learn from something that happened to you, you really, really get the message. And you say, oh, my gosh, this never has to ever, ever, ever happen to me again. We will all learn. We will heal. And whatever we did wrong, we will do better in the future. You see, that's where the trees grow tall. That's where the trees grow tall. And then the western slope of forgiveness is actually where we have to look at ourselves. And that's the hardest slope to look at. That's the one where the fire burns down upon us the most. Sometimes we have to look at, what did I do that brought this about? What do I need to fix in myself? Maybe I need to ask forgiveness. Just like Yeshua said to more than one person, first go and ask forgiveness from your brother before you go and ask forgiveness from God. So there are different slopes of the mountain. And I think you might study that. We're going to look at this way more in depth in the future. But today is a day when globally we can look at all sides of that slope and say it's time for forgiveness. We'll never know all the forces that were behind 9/11. We'll never know all the damage that was done. And the collateral damage was more than we can ever, ever imagine, because it did change the world. But it was also part of a change that was happening in the world from which we can all learn and grow better and do better and keep growing beyond to prevent catastrophes like this from happening again. We can all return to our loving heart and let the flowers grow on the eastern slope and have hope again. And then we can all look on the western slope and we can see, well, what can I do better? What can I do to make this a better world? So for this day, we offer blessings in memory. And we offer blessings for this now and in the future, that no such thing will happen again. We ask blessings for everyone on our blessing list. And we ask blessings for people who are not here to put their names on the list. And for those who were a little too shy to put their name on the list, we ask for blessings. I ask for blessings for some very, very important work that's happening for Spiritus Church, for the support that has been promised, which we know will be coming our way, that will allow us to serve so many more around the world and to do so much more good with the teachings of Yeshua. We ask blessings for that. And I ask blessings for Larry, my husband, who needs help sleeping. So we ask blessings for his sleep and other needs he has for healing. So there are, don't any of us be bashful about asking for the blessings of Christ and the blessings of God, which are given bountifully to all of us, and all we need is to receive. So let us be ready to receive. Be in your chair. Be quiet, silent, still. Allow your attention to drop into your heart, because your heart is the open door. Your mind is the closed chamber. Let it alone for a while. It's a good servant. We bless it. We thank it. Thank you for being all that you are to our mind. But we fall into the heart, for therein is the open door to God, to love, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit. And we receive. From little to large, we receive. Whatever you receive is exponential, actually. Because no matter how small it starts, it will be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied until it is large. And that's the wonderful miracle of anything from God. So, if you will just be there, I will say my invocation to Christ. And then you will pray for 3 minutes while the blessing givers and I conduct the blessing of Christ. Dear Yeshua, the one who loves us unconditionally, the one who came to earth so that we might look into the eyes of God, the one that came so that we could feel the hand of God upon us, the one who would encourage us to receive, literally to have the courage to receive, the one who showed us how to receive, even in the very most painful, distraught, discouraging moments of our life, to receive the gifts and the blessings of God. Thank you for being with us here now, for each person on this call, and for every person in their life, that your blessings may radiate, whether known or unknown, to everyone. To everyone beyond everyone. And we thank you most of all for simply being with us in all your magnificent love and glory. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing is complete, except that now you need to go rest for at least 7 minutes and receive. It's okay if you fall asleep. Just don't think. Don't even continue your prayer. Just receive. Be quiet, be still, and be with God. Bye-bye for now. I'll see you next week.